Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. First of all, I want to tell you about a new venture we have going on here at The Common Sense Show. Paul Martin and I are starting a once-a-week, two-hour program from 10 to noon Pacific on KHNC 1360 AM. We're going to be posting the archives on thecommonsenseshow.com. But not only that, we're going to eventually build in a live broadcast forum where you're going to be able to listen in. And I'll tell you, the reach of this program is phenomenal, 100,000 watts, the whole front range of Colorado into Wyoming, Kansas. So I want to let everybody know that that's coming, and it gives us a really extra big reach on what we call mainstream media. People say, Dave, why would you want to do mainstream media? Because Jesus had to walk in the temple where the bankers were. We got to do the same thing here too. We got to bring as many people to understanding as possible. Well, before we get to our guest, and we have a terrific segment for you dealing with the New World Order and strategies for doing so using a micro approach to a group strategies, we're going to be talking to Stefan Verstappen, and we're going to be discussing that point as well as his new book. But before we do, I need to let you know, there are some people who bring this show to you and who make it possible, and I just wanted to make sure that we give them the credit they deserve. First is Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com. King Prepper, as I call Bob. Why do I call him that? Because anything that you want, that you need for survival, Bob has it, and he does one thing that's unique to everybody else. He'll give you a personal consultation for free. I know of nobody that does that. They charge a lot of money, and they should. It's their time. But Bob says, I'm going to make this part of my service. So how do you reach Bob? Go to readymaderesources.com, readymaderesources.com. Look at what they have available, and then give him a call with the number that's on the screen there. Secondly, brought to you by preparewithdave.com. I always say you need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, tools, Bible, allies, you know, the regular stuff. We can help you with the food. And DHS and FEMA are even telling you you need at least 6 months. I say you need 2 years. But we've taken the sting out of accumulation. In other words, you can accumulate in small packets of 2 and 4 weeks. And we do that at preparewithdave.com. Restaurant quality, no glyphosates, no GMOs, 25-year shelf life. Go to preparewithdave.com. And finally, just want to make sure that I let you know that I use Health Masters. And you go, why is that important? Well, you've heard me talk about overcoming 3 potential surgeries over several years, and I followed Health Masters protocols when I had surgery prescribed in each and every case. And you go, Dave, what was that for? Well, that was Achilles tendon, torn meniscus in my knee, ruptured disc in my back. And you don't have to have those things wrong with you, because Health Masters is good for health maintenance as well. I want you to go to healthmasters.com. Look at what's there, and you go, oh, yeah, I need that. This is important for me. And then take 5% off using the coupon code CODE5. So that's healthmasters.com, CODE5. And those are the people that bring you the first segment of this show with our upcoming interview here with Stefan Verstappen. Stefan, I want to welcome you to the show. I know you're calling in from Toronto. And congratulations on your great NBA basketball team, causing quite a frenzy up there in Toronto. I've got friends in the Toronto area who are keeping me abreast of all this. And I'm a former college basketball coach, so I've been following this with some interest. But congratulations to the good people of Toronto. And also, I just wanted to welcome you to the show. And I'm really looking forward to our time together today. Hello, Stefan. Are you with us?
Sorry, I had my microphone on.
Oh, you. That's okay. Yeah. I've been known to do that, too. Those cough buttons are nice, but sometimes we forget to turn them off. But anyway, welcome to the show. I'm really glad you could join us, and I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Well, thanks for having me back on, Dave. It's always an honor to be on your show.
Well, it's our honor. It truly is. And indeed, I'm blessed to have such great guests like yourself on this show. But we got a problem out there, Stefan. It's called the New World Order. They're imposing their will on us. They are small in number, but they're mighty in what they control, and they're mighty in their effect on us. So let's get right down to brass tacks. Where do we jump into this discussion in terms of what the problem is? So let's do some problem identification, and then we'll get into what some solutions are.
Well, the problem is, I have a video out, and I think we talked about this last time I was on your show. The video is called We Are at War, and we have been at war. We've been at war for more than 100 years. It's a covert war. Nobody declared war on us, or otherwise we would have known to, you know, defend ourselves. But we didn't know this war was being waged. But we are now in the final stages of this war. And the war is against European history, culture, and people. For some reason, the powers that be, they hate us. They hate us a lot. And they have for a long time. And this war is, you know, partially psychological. We know that the media is fake, and we know that everything that comes out of Hollywood is poisonous. Everything on TV is poisonous. I mean, from the shows to the commercials. And all of this poison is designed to alienate us from our culture and our history and our communities and our families and our traditions. Why else are they tearing down all these statues and painting over murals and everything that is has anything to do with Europe or European civilization is racist and must be destroyed? Well, this is part of the psychological warfare. And in case people think that this is, you know, pretty benign, that they're messing with our minds, this warfare is resulting in real deaths, because what this warfare does is create a condition of alienation. And when I was researching this upcoming book of mine, I came across a lot of articles that were tangential to what I was writing about. And these articles all listed alienation and isolation and loneliness and self-loathing to a whole of the problems that we in our society face today, such as depression, a family breakup, suicide, drug addiction, alcoholism. But it doesn't just stop there. These researchers, and I've been working with a friend of mine who's a doctor in California. He lives in Santa Barbara, and he's doing research on anti-aging. He's got a program called the Blue Zone Program. And he goes all over the world, and he, you know, to these zones where people live to be 110 years old. You know what the common denominator with all these communities are that live to be so old, but not just live to be old, but live without Alzheimer's, without arthritis, without dementia, without heart disease? I mean, they're 110 years old and they still put in an 8-hour day. The common solution, or the common denominator with most of these communities, are they are communities. They're not all alienated from each other. They have families and they have friends, and they sit together and they talk to their friends every day. These people that live to be 110 years old have best friends that they've seen every day, 90 years. So it's war on us, this cultural war on our culture and our heritage and in our minds. Yes, it makes us incapable of uniting to fight the new world order. We're too busy bickering amongst each other, even within families. So we can't provide a united front. But the other costs to that are the healthcare costs, the mental health, and the physical health. Things like Alzheimer's, directly related to the fact that when people get older, they are isolated from their friends and families and left to sit alone in their seniors' building. They develop Alzheimer's because there's no engagement with humanity anymore. There's no life. There's nothing to inspire people. So it's not just, you know, your brother-in-law that died of an overdose. It's not just your grandmother that's dying from dementia. These are all symptoms of this ongoing war. And so my attempt, because my first book is on military strategy, it's a complement to Sun Tzu's The Art of War. And I've contributed to other books on military strategy, especially Mr. John H. Poole wrote a bunch of books on, he's an ex-Marine colonel, on small unit guerrilla tactics and anti-government and anti-insurrection tactics. And we've collaborated on a couple of books. So what do I know? How can I apply strategy to our situation to resist the inevitable genocide of not just our culture and our history and traditions, but our people itself? And what I've come up with is going to be coming up in this upcoming book.
Well, I've been saying for some time that we are going through a cultural genocide in America, and there's a lot of facets to it. One is just the natural changes that take place when you import millions of illegal aliens that come from different cultures. It's going to have a cumulative effect, and it gets greater over time. But also there is a real movement now, I've noticed, in our culture to take traditional American values, for example, and turn them on their head. In other words, you know, marriage, man, woman, children, white picket fence, the values, people who might worship God. These values are being taken and turned upside down, and they're being spoken about as if there's some kind of perversion in society.
Yeah, it's upside down clown world. It's a bizarro world, you know, from the DC comics. Everything good is bad and everything bad is good. I've never seen anything like this. And, you know, I've been somebody who is a fan of science fiction, and I always like to read those dystopian future novels and movies. And I could never have predicted this. I've never seen this coming, but absolutely it's the coup de grace on our civilization, this massive third world immigration. I could not have seen this coming, Dave. And I'm a smart guy, but this is the death blow. You know, they've already been tearing us down through, you know, like I said, through the media, through the education system. You know, one of the greatest horrors of the modern times is to send your kids to public school. You know, you might as well send them to a gulag. And, they're programmed and they're trained, and the life is squeezed out of them, and they come out with their smartphone, pathological narcissists, and their whole life revolves around selfies. I mean, this is what our education system has done. So we've been under attack for this long. How can we fight back, Dave? How can we, you know, resist this full spectrum warfare? You know, all the tactics they use, but not only is it a cultural, add to it everything else. You know, what is the fluoride in the water doing? You know, I've been drinking fluoride for 60 years. And go see my dental bill, see if it's helped any. The 5G that they're rolling out, never mind the microwave radiation we have already, but they're rolling out the 5G. Listen, I've studied, you know, I've been sort of like a spiritual seeker. I experimented with frequencies over 30 years ago. I had a synthesizer and a sine wave generator and speakers and lights. You know, I experimented with different types of frequencies to see if I could induce an enlightenment experience or a high level of awareness and consciousness. And what I discovered is frequencies, yes, absolutely. It affects your mind. So knowing the people that run this world, and they're psychopaths. I have a video out called Defense Against the Psychopaths, which everybody should watch, because you can't understand the madness of what's going on unless you understand that psychopaths are just the sickest, inverted, twisted, most unhuman people you will ever want to meet, and they control things. So knowing psychopaths the way I do, would the psychopaths take advantage of a 5G network system to directly influence the brain frequencies of the entire population? I mean, they could throw a switch and suddenly everybody becomes suicidal. This has been done. Even Japan had a direct voice-to-skull system that they set up in storefronts. You'd walk down the street, you'd pass by an open store window, and suddenly you'd hear voices in your head saying, come on in, we've got a sale on. Shoot.
I remember that.
Right? This has been around. So, you know, I researched this because I incorporated some of these techniques. I know it's going to sound a little bit weird, but In a couple of my public art projects, I included electronics and light and sound and frequencies, because what I wanted to try and do is create an art project that when you got near it, you would feel calm, like a meditative state. So I purposely used the types of frequencies and sounds, I sampled from a Japanese shakuhachi, which is a very calming flute sound, and to see if I can induce people to feel relaxed and happy and calm just through frequency alone. And it was a great success. I did this in Ventura, California when I lived there. And since then, up here in Canada, with another art installation. So I know I've experimented with it in a benevolent way. I only used frequencies and sound patterns that would make people feel happy and relaxed. But now, if I was a psychopath, I would flip it around. I would reverse it. I would use frequencies that instill anxiety and depression and dread and fear. Those are really easy to induce. So we're under attack from so many angles, Dave. The food, the water, the chemtrails. Oh, my God. I mean, I've just gone through the longest, coldest winter I've ever experienced. My cabin fever is through the roof. 9 months where every day I step outside, I can see my breath. It's, you know, this is, I've never seen anything like this, but we get chemtrailed here all the time. So we've got it. You know, through the frequencies, 5G, through the food, in the water, in the TV, in the smartphone, in the education system. I mean, this is not a fair battle. And all these are weaponized against us, and we don't even know we're at war. So this is why I'm working on this, trying to find some kind of solution, Dave. We're outnumbered, we're outgunned, but, you know, what are we going to do? Just sit, give up and die? No, we got to fight back.
Excuse me. Well, I agree we have to fight back, but I would also say that to the average person listening to this, the list that you just ran off in that series sentence, from 5G to chemtrails and so forth, it sounds so incredibly paranoid, but it's a fact. I mean, I'll give you an example. I'm going to validate something you just said with regard to mind manipulation using electronic frequencies. You know, I'm a long time now retired psychology instructor, and I've taught everything from high school to postgraduate. And since the early 80s, I was covering the work of Jose Delgado, who is a Spanish physiologist from Barcelona, Spain. And he came to fame because he had a bullfight, and he didn't use a red cape. He used an electronic transmitter in which he transmitted signals to the bull's hypothalamus and caused the raging bull to walk off basically very calm. And we know now from these experiments that he did before he went to work for the CIA and his work went underground, that when he was at Yale, he was working with people with epilepsy. He could induce rage. He could induce passivity. And this is all documented. This is stuff that was part of my psychology curriculum. So when people say, oh, this is all nuts, there's documentation for everything that Stefan has just said. It's just, it sounds so incredible that someone would get behind this to try to undermine humans at every turn. So let me ask you this question. Since we are on multiple venues of attack, multiple planes of being put upon, what is their goal? What is it they're trying to accomplish?
Well, I think the goal is pretty obvious. It's genocide. Here's the problem. I've traveled all over the world. I lived in China. I lived in Europe. I lived all through the United States. And there is no group of people in the world like Europeans. I mean, I like the Chinese. My first wife was Chinese. There are many things about Chinese culture that I admire. But the Chinese have never invented anything approaching democracy or egalitarianism. They've been an empire from the very beginning, and there's the emperors, and then there's the peasants, and the peasants are basically cannon fodder. This idea that of a representative government or having a say in affairs doesn't exist in China. Only Europeans invented that with the Greeks and with the Germanic tribes. Chinese are very cruel to animals. Very cruel. I like the Chinese people. I speak a little bit of Mandarin, Wahui Shuo, Yi Dian Dian. But the cruelty they exhibit to animals is just unspeakable. I can't talk about it, because I feel so bad for those animals. Only Europeans care about their livestock and want to see them, you know, live a relatively happy life until they go to the slaughterhouse, and then they want to be slaughtered as quickly and painlessly as possible, which is the opposite of halal and kosher, where these religions demand that, you know, their animals be tortured to death. I mean, only Europeans do that. Same thing with nature, you know. Only Europeans are concerned about species going extinct. Nowhere else in the world do you see anybody give a, you know, the slightest care, the least bit about an extinct squirrel or a lizard or a toad. They couldn't care less. And it's European people. But most importantly, it's European people that have always been the ones that had the most critical thinking and individualism. Now, I'm a fan of individualism, but I'm going to prescribe working as communities, but there is not a contradiction between that. And so that makes us troublesome slaves. And since the goal of the powers that be is to enslave the world in a Brave New World 1984 kind of fashion, or actually even beyond what they thought of, then the thorn in their side is the European culture, the European traditions. Straight white men are the ones that will go down last, kicking and screaming, before they put on the manacles, before they put on the chains. And that's who they're after.
Yeah, that's exactly who they're after. But it's, to me, when I look at some of the ridiculousness of what I'm seeing from the left and their undoing of our culture, it's not even that they have a full replacement culture in mind. It's that they just want to disrupt this culture so they can take it over. They're trying to create so much controversy and so much conflict that they can swoop in and take over in the midst of the conflict. That, I mean, I don't know how you see it, but I see a lot of what they do as not even making sense.
No, they don't make sense. I see the left in two ways. First of all, to me, they're all insane. I wouldn't waste 2 minutes talking to a person on the left trying to convince them of anything. They're incapable of reason, incapable of logic, incapable of changing their mind. And so, you know, there is no reasoning with them. I just walk away from them. You can't reason. You can't, you know, they're a cult. And I remember studying cults years ago, back in the 70s. And in those days, we had the Hare Krishnas and the Scientologists and the Children of God and all these organizations. And I read several books, and you must have covered this too in your studies in psychology. I'm thinking of a couple of books like Snapped, where they describe the indoctrination process of these cults. And in those days, some parents still had the option. Of course, now it's illegal. But what they would do is they would hire deprogrammers to kidnap their son and daughter out of a cult and drive them up into a cabin up in the mountains, where they had two or three deprogrammers sit down and spend a week with them going over all the facts about their cult leaders and how the cult leader manipulated them and indoctrinated them. And 90% went back to the cult right after they got out of that cabin. So, you know, this is, even if your parents and people grab a leftist because they're indoctrinated into this cult and take them away and present them with slideshows and movies and reams of evidence and articles and have people talk to them every day for a week, forget about it. They're not, you can't change their mind. So this is what we're dealing with. But here's the other thing with the left. To understand the left, you have to understand, because they don't have a solution. Absolutely, you're right, Dave. All they can think about is destroying, you know, kill, tear it down, you know, take a giant crap on everything we hold sacred and part of our tradition. They don't have a solution, but I'll tell you why they don't have a solution. It's because they are envious. And what people need to understand is there's a difference between envy and jealousy. Now, jealousy could be, if I saw Dave driving a really nice Camaro down the street, and Dave's got a beautiful girl, a beautiful wife beside him. And I go, geez, I wish I had Dave's car. I wish.
Now,
I had
I'm glad you made that distinction with wife. I'd be in trouble when she heard the broadcast if you hadn't.
I caught myself there.
Yeah.
Usually I'm talking to single guys.
Yeah, she would say he's past the girlfriend stage or better be.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, let's say I'm jealous of Dave. But you know what? I'm glad Dave has that, and Dave is an inspiration for me to work harder, to buy that Camaro if that's what I want, if that's what I think is going to make me happy, and to find some, you know, beautiful wife that I think will make me happy. Then I can get that. But here's envy. Envy is when you see somebody that has something that you can't have, no matter how hard you work for it. So, you know, you see a woman sees another beautiful woman, that woman will be envious, because no matter how much she diets and no matter how much plastic surgery and makeup, she could never be as beautiful as that other woman. And so, and it's the same thing with, you know, stupid people. Most of the leftists, they're stupid people. They're not intelligent. So they see somebody with intelligence, with creativity, with inspiration, initiative, you know, that builds their own business, that creates wealth for themselves and for people around them, that are loved and admired by their coworkers, and they hate that. They're envious because they know they can never do it. Now, the thing with envy is people that are envy want to kill and destroy the things that they envy. It's the old story, if I can't have it, nobody can have it. And that's what they're doing. So the left is, you know, like, just look at all these videos of these people. Oh my God, you know, 50 years ago, you know, police would pick them up and bring them to a mental health facility, you know. And now they're dictating policy. It's unbelievable, but of course, take a look at them. Do you think, that they admire you for being strong and independent and talented? They hate you for it and they want to kill you. And that's why the left destroys, because they envy what they can't have. And if they can't have it, they want to make sure nobody does.
That's true. And I see that a lot, but I also see it too. Motivating the globalists. I think it's a key part of their psychology, because I see them, and I'll give you an example here in a minute. I see them preparing for a doomsday strategy. In other words, if indeed some of them begin to get prosecuted, if by some miracle that Barr does this following his investigations, I see them doing things like, you know, crashing the Oroville Dam. I see them doing bioterrorism, and there's lots of evidence to suggest that some of these things are very close and will be acted upon. So they're very destructive. It's kind of like the stalker in a relationship. If I can't have you, no one else will.
Yes. Yes. But now let's make a differentiation between the leftists that I talk about that are envious. These are basically, you know, I hate to use the term, but they're the losers of society for whatever reason.
True.
You know, and to be honest with you, just between you and me, Dave, I don't really blame them. I understand that they are victims, that, you know, they probably didn't have a strong family tradition, and then they were, you know, ripped away from their parents at the age of 6 or earlier and sent to daycare and kindergarten, and then 12 years of government indoctrination, and then the whole time they're being fed chemicals and their minds are poisoned with the culture. So, you know, that they turn into these, you know, envious people because their will, their creativity, their intelligence has been ripped away from them. It's been destroyed. It's been poisoned. They're dying inside like a cancer. And so I can understand why they're envious. It's been taken from them. And in one sense, I don't blame them. But, you know, on the other hand, it's like a 6-year-old with a machine gun. I mean, okay, you know, you can't blame him, but you got to get that machine gun out of his hands. And that's the thing with the leftists. I don't blame them, but we got to make sure they have absolutely no power whatsoever. But now the people that are running it, this is a different animal. Psychopaths enjoy suffering. They did studies on, you know, they did CAT scans on people, and they would measure the brain activity, and they could monitor, they could see it in real time. And what they would do is they would flash pictures, and maybe they flash a picture of a puppy. Now, in normal people, when you see a picture of a cute puppy, you know, there's portions of your brain that are associated with empathy and sympathy that light up. Oh, I love the puppy, so cute, you know. And then they would flash a picture of, say, a dead body. And then other portions of a normal brain would light up, showing the revulsion and horror of seeing a dead body. With psychopaths, it's absolutely reversed again. You show them pictures of cute babies and cute puppies and loving families, and nothing's happening in the brain, nothing at all. Now you show them pictures of people being tortured and murdered and shot and dead bodies and dismemberment. The pleasure center of their brain lights up. In other words, they like what they see. They're getting off on it. They're enjoying the images of cruelty and death and destruction, because that's what psychopaths are. And they're the ones that are in charge. So the psychopaths that run this world, the New World Order, the deep state, the hidden government, they're laughing their asses off at the leftists. They think it's really funny. It's, you know, they were largely responsible for destroying the spirits of all these people, and now they've created, you know, almost half the population as bitter, resentful lunatics. They like that. They're getting a big laugh at it, out of it. And now they've directed these people to attack the few people left in our society that have some, you know, common sense, that have some integrity, that have some virtue, some faith. And it's a big joke for them. So the psychopaths that are controlling this and are running this, and absolutely, will it come down to biowarfare? Sure, if they want to. It's nothing for them to do this. It's a phone call, and 2 weeks later, 10 million people are dead. Of course they would do this. You got to understand, they have no inhibition. They don't, you know, look at all the pedophilia that's going around in every capital city. Why is that? London, Paris, Rome, New York, LA. It's hotbeds for pedophilia. Well, they're also hotbeds for political power in the world. And that's what these people do. They're pedophiles, they're murderers, they're animal abusers, wife beaters, molesters. Look at the video with Joe Biden. The guy can't help himself. He's on camera in front of the whole world, and he's still got to get his filthy little paws on every little child in his reach. You know, they can't help themselves, Dave. So
they can't help themselves because they are psychopaths, and they suffer from something in psychology we refer to as antisocial personality disorder. About two-thirds of these people, it's largely genetic, and they have immature limbic systems that control emotional response,
yes,
and judgment, and they basically are real bad at impulse control as well, too. And this, mm-hmm, is two-thirds of these people, and it has nothing to do with IQ, but it does have to do with the restricted emotionality. They can't relate to people on an empathic level, and this is really who makes up the New World Order. Have you found the same thing?
Absolutely, Dave, and you described it very well. Thank you for bringing in some scientific evidence into this discussion. You're absolutely right. The psychopaths are notorious for a lack of impulse control. Some are better than others, but you know, they can't help themselves. But the key trait is they want to see you suffer. It's not enough that they have all the money in the world. They don't care. All the money in the world doesn't make them happy unless all that money world shields them from the suffering they inflict around them. So they can sit back and they can watch people struggle and cut each other's throat for a buck in this country. You know, because everything is money, money, money. It's a poison. It's a poisonous system. Nobody can do anything without thinking about the financial benefits or costs of doing something. But that's part of the plan, too. So, you know, they've poisoned the world. They're watching the left and the right attack each other, where, you know, the right is just defending sanity. The left are a bunch of lunatics. They don't know what they're doing. And but they shouldn't be fighting us. But unfortunately, that's the way they've been programmed. And so while we're at each other's throats, they're sitting back and they're having their six-year-olds imported through the Denver airport, through the secret tunnels, into a waiting limousine to be delivered to their mansions where they can enjoy raping them. This is what runs the world.
It's, you know, these people do seek power. Someone asked me once, and the numbers vary, what percentage of the population is made up by these people who have antisocial personality disorder? And the answer is, it varies according to who you read. But let me give you a couple interesting stats, Devon. I think you're going to find this really interesting. One, it's thought to be about 3% of the population has this. 90% male, 10% female. But two, it's really interesting. 12% of all corporate CEOs are estimated to have this. 9% of all politicians.
Yeah, I would say those statistics are really underreported. There's also a distinction I make in my video and in the first chapter of the book that it's featured from is primary and secondary psychopaths. So the primary are those ones that you just mentioned. They're the, you know, they were born bad, the bad seed. You ever see that movie from the 60s, The Bad Seed?
No, I didn't see that.
It's a great movie. Scared the living bejesus out of me when I was 10 and I watched it the first time. It's about a little girl, young girl, 10-year-old girl, and she's a psychopath and she murders all these people. But, you know, butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. It's a good movie. They made a remake of it, but it was awful. But the original was good. But these are the primary sociopaths. They're born that way. They're the 4-year-old kid that's already pulling the wings off of flies, you know. But there's another kind of psychopath, which and other researchers do the same. They call them secondary psychopaths or created psychopaths. And these are people that have been afflicted by childhood abuse, drug addiction, often a head injury could bring this on. And they weren't born psychopaths, but they were created psychopaths through our culture. And when, again, this is part of their full spectrum attack on us. If you send a kid to 12 years of government school and then allow them to watch TV and then allow them to have a smartphone, the outcome is going to be that kid has been programmed, you know, through behavioral conditioning to admire psychopaths and to want to emulate psychopaths and to behave in the same way as psychopaths. Now, when they behave in the same way, they are secondary psychopaths. They might not have been born that way, but they've been programmed and conditioned and beaten down until they now are that way. So if you were to include the primary psychopaths plus the secondary psychopaths that have been created through this poisonous world in which we live, then I think the statistics go up to about 20% of the population, if not higher.
I think we can certainly get to that with bouts of this disorder. Do they have the full-blown 24/7? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm a data guy, but I do have to tell you, I do think the numbers are somewhat unreported. I will tell you this, a related feature to this psychology is extreme narcissism. And where I see a lot of this manifesting is just in regular routines in our culture. I'll give you an example. Try to talk to someone who's a millennial and try to get them to put down their phone for 2 minutes while you engage them in a conversation. They can't.
They can't.
They're so egocentric, they have to make sure that everyone in their media circle is paying attention to them, that they're the center of the universe, they're extremely important. And this kind of narcissism is, I think it's really hurt our culture. Because cultures depend on cooperation. Cultures depend on consideration for each other. And one of the ways to break apart a culture is to cause conflict. And when you don't have a spirit of cooperation, conflicts arise. And I think that the left is really exploiting this variable with mainstream culture of America.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head with that, Dave, because they exploit that. And as you know, because, you know, you study psychology, the pathological narcissism, the antisocial personality disorder, and the psychopathy, they're all clusters of the same kind of mindset. Now, you know, a narcissist isn't maybe as bad as a sociopath. But in terms of functioning in society, well, they are, because, like you said, we, for our society to function, and this is the key trait of Europeans, is, you know, as I'm sure you've covered this before in your talks, that, you know, we've had to survive in the cold north. We've had to cooperate, and it's through empathy and trust that we were able to survive the harsh conditions of the last ice age. You know, if we just behaved like narcissists, there wouldn't be any Europeans alive today.
Sure.
So we, this is our trait, the ability to cooperate with each other. And it's also the thing that the powers that be fear, because they know that when we cooperate and we unite, the power we can influence on society is multiplied. That's why in my upcoming book, you know, I recommend even five people form a community, a group. Those five people can do so much, more than one or two or three. It's a force multiplier. It's a term that they use in the military. And it really is. So if we had a small percentage of Europeans unite to fight the New World Order, we could defeat them easily. Because, again, the power of unity and people working together is vastly superior to all the media and all the money, all everything that these people have. If they can't defeat us spiritually, and we continue to support each other physically and mentally and as a unity, as a community, they can't destroy us. So why else do you think we have all these smartphones and social media, and everybody is encouraged to be narcissistic? Just take a look at any TV commercial. The actors or actresses in those commercials, they must display a self-satisfying, smug look on their face. The smug, self-satisfied look that all narcissists have when they get what they want. You know, it's part of the programming. So that's why that is being foisted on us. And yeah, people can't get along now. Everybody's a narcissist. Everybody has greater needs than everybody around them. Nobody's going to cooperate or, you know, give an inch or give of themselves, because they'll be at a disadvantage of getting what they want. You know, it's part of the full spectrum war on us.
Well, the full spectrum war is a good way to put it, because this is what we're seeing. I mean, the stuff we do in our society that's coming from leadership, and a lot of it's government leadership, deep state leadership, comes to us, Stefan, because it's disruptive. It's not because it's helpful. I'm going to give you an example. You can't go to a California school now unless you've had a measles vaccine. And you can't even use religious conscience as an exception now. But the problem is, the strains of measles that we have in this country is because of the very policies the California state government follows in encouraging illegal immigration, and these measles are a different strain than the domestic-based, and our vaccines don't even have an effect. That's the madness that we're existing under right now. And this is just one small example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly one small. It's just another bullet in the war, and it's outrageous that they mandate vaccines. You know a little bit about medical history. So do I. I've studied it. I've worked with doctors, and I've edited three or four books on from doctors on medicine. I know how a vaccine works. I know who invented it. It was the Chinese that invented the vaccine. They would carry around, Chinese doctors would carry around, they would pick the scabs of smallpox victims, and they would let them dry out, and they would keep them in a little vial. And if they wanted to vaccine somebody, they would let them sniff the dried out pox scabs, because it had mostly died off. It's no longer moist. It dried out. But the molecules that you would sniff in would be able to create the antibodies, so in case you got the live version of it. This goes way back. So when they started coming out saying that people that aren't vaccinated are a risk to those that are vaccinated. I knew the whole story was another lie. It was all just nonsense. And how anybody got away with that. Doesn't anybody have any basic understanding of medical principles? No, it's the reverse. You know, people that aren't vaccinated would only be a threat to other people not vaccinated, not the people vaccinated. How they missed that, and all these newspapers and TV shows reported it this way. What a bunch of liars. That's not how it works at all. But they did it because they want to inject you with something. Now, when the government wants and forces you to be injected with, you don't know what's in those needles.
Well, I can tell you, I know some of what's in those needles. It's called squalene, and squalene destroys the immune system. We have found this in a number of vaccines.
Yeah, yeah, I believe that. I mean, it's not for a good reason. You know, first thing I tell people is, like, you have to understand the government does nothing good. The government doesn't care about you. The government is not here to help you or protect you. I cringe every time I see a politician stand up and say, we want to protect the American people. Oh, I know they're lying their butts off when they say that, because there's nothing about government that protects the people. So when the government wants to force this on people, it's not for a good reason. It's never for a good reason.
Well, it's profit. And it's also profit at our demise. This is the ironic thing. When it comes to the vaccine industry, we are helping these people profit from our demise. I find that so ironic. Stefan, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you a few minutes here to talk about some of the works you're involved in and how people can follow your good work. So you mentioned that you have a book, you've produced a video. So let's go there and let's tell the listening audience how they can follow you.
Okay. So this is my last book, Trying to Help the World. I've written two previously. The Art of Urban Survival, which is how to survive the end times for every civilization. Crime, violence, corruption, natural disasters, war, martial law. It's all in my first book, The Art of Urban Survival. And then second book is The Way of the Warrior, because I realized that this war on Europeans is specifically a war on European men and masculinity. If we're going to resist our genocide, we need men. We need warriors. We need, positive masculinity. And so my second book was to try and give people some options on how to rediscover their masculinity, how to become men again, how to become most especially warriors, which is, it's not a violent term. A warrior is somebody that thinks for themselves and fights for right. It's not a soldier. A soldier is an order taker. A soldier is not a warrior. An individual that stands up for what's right, that's a warrior. And the last book, it's not finished. I have a GoFundMe campaign. I need to raise a bit of money just to, give me a breather, because I'm not a rich person. And anytime I take time off to do something else, I suffer financially for it. So I need help. I'm raising a little bit of money, nothing much, to help me with my third book. And the third book is going to be called The Complete Guide to Creating Communities. And so the GoFundMe is GoFundMe/ how to create a community. And what I try to do with this book is, first of all, I go through history and I show how, how our ancestors survived all the horrors of the last several thousand years by working together, supporting each other. And I also give in the book all the information you would need to form a community, to run it. I got the paperwork, how to incorporate or not incorporate, nonprofit or unincorporated, and how to hold meetings. I got sample charters, rules, bylaws. And here's another thing, Dave, that you'll appreciate. I'm including in the book how to filter out psychopaths from joining your community. I've got a psychopathic checklist and a questionnaire that you can print out from the book, and it gives this to any potential members that want to become a part of your community. Let them fill this out. And there are some, you know, sneaky tests you can do on them. I'm sorry. Well, sometimes we have to be as ruthless as they are, but we've got to filter them out of our community. You have one psychopath in your community, it's done. They will destroy everything. So it's all in there. We don't know how to do it anymore because it's been drummed out of us through our, you know, through the part of the program, part of the full-scale war. You know, we've got everybody fighting each other. Nobody knows how to come together, work together as a team. And so the book is aimed at doing that. And basically what I'm doing is if you buy an advanced copy from the PDF for $10, you'll get it in September. But that advanced copy will help me to write the book. And again, it's going to have everything. It's a one-stop shop because I know people are lazy. I get that. So everything will be in there. You want to start up a group, you can download the all the paperwork, all the charters, all the forms, the application forms, the health questionnaires, the psychopath questionnaire. All you need to do is print it out, fill in your own name, boom, you're ready to go, and you have all the information you need. Because my ultimate goal is, and I think is the strategy to winning this, is what we call a leaderless revolution. If we were to all form a new political party, it'll take them about a month before they infiltrate and subvert their political party. If we were to form a new movement, you know, like a nationalist movement or a yellow vest movement, it wouldn't take the powers that be too long to infiltrate it with all their money and bribe and blackmail all the leaders of that community and then destroy that. So how can we fight back? We can fight back with a leaderless revolution. So instead of having one political party that has 500,000 members, let's have 100,000 small independent groups with 5 members each or 10 members each.
It's a good idea. But you know what? That's a topic we're going to have to explore at a different time, because right now, my friend, we have to sign off. We are out of time. Stefan Verstappen has been our guest here on the Common Sense Show. Stefan, thanks for a very fascinating segment. And everybody else, stay tuned. We'll be back.